Good morning, citizen lobbyist. Nice of you to call in on this beautiful day.
Balmy.
Okay, it is that. It is that. Well, not too many meetings happening this week, but the one that did, I was privileged to attend. We streamed it, recorded it, put it up on our website, and that's the City of Palmer Council meeting on Tuesday.
Oh, pray tell. What happened, Mike?
Well, I'm going to start out by saying there were three or four very interesting discussions that took place, and I think in part I'll begin with the one where there wasn't much of a discussion, but there was more of what I would term a reaction. And that involved, early on in the meeting, the city manager's update, warning, if you will, that what would be coming up would be a report on the state of something that had been discussed in the past with considerable attention by citizens around, and that is annexation. So annexation seems to be particularly interesting, whether it's in Wasilla or here in Palmer, because I have lived through more than one review of the areas surrounding Palmer, or sometimes enclosed by Palmer, and have witnessed various approaches to see whether annexation would be mutually beneficial for those areas proposed to be annexed or for the city. I know the city has a history of growth. It has actually added some areas, but the last time was about 2 years ago in 2013, and what emerged then was not much action in the way of annexation. Well, apparently sitting out there was an incomplete discussion. It was brought up by the city clerk. The reference that the city manager made back in 2013, basically the instruction was, let's get back to this at some time in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So the city manager brought it up and said, we're looking through all of those things that are like that, future items that the council had been interested in looking at. And he pointed out that it would be coming up. The staff had done a little bit of work with it, and they'll give a state of things as they are at the present time. I thought that was an innocuous statement or good practice. Well, my sense was, as the council reacted, there was a question about whether they wanted to touch this. It almost appeared it was one of those third rail type of things.
Yeah.
And I found that striking. Because
who in particular seemed alarmed by that?
Well, I think the questions were raised. I think the comments that were made by a number of council members. Mr. Hansen wondered, and somewhat under his breath, why it had taken 2 years to bring this up. The mayor led a kind of a discussion around the question of whether this was something that the council should look at in terms of determining if this was a good time to bring it up, that it was something of a policy or council decision to make this happen. So my sense was that people were thinking about other things, other topics. And when this was brought up, it jarred them, and maybe because of their remembrance of history, of how contentious these discussions were. On the other hand, I thought it was an appropriate thing to give a report. What I think it reminds me is that whatever body you're talking about, very often a topic is brought up and then it's sort of tabled. With some sense that not forever, but we'd like to bring this back. Mm-hmm. And if the administration is doing due diligence and reviews things that were in this category, presumably there would be some discussion, I guess, with the council before bringing it back. But this seemed to be the manager saying, we're not going to talk about it right now. I plan to discuss this and give a report about the state of this because the council at one point had requested it.
Right. And, you know, this just points to a little bit about process. Now, I remember one of the very first school board meetings I went to was, I don't know how many years ago, but George Troxell was superintendent at that point, and they were trying to do a boundary exemption around Iditarod School, and they had a process that they were following that they'd pretty much followed all along, and it turned out to be a very contentious situation that required several hearings and was defeated. And everybody kind of went off to lick their wounds saying that we can just never do this. Well, the next boundary exemption or the next boundary study that they had, they actually did a study and they brought in a professional, somebody outside of the district, Shannon Bingham, who did quite a big study of the whole area saying, this isn't just one boundary exemption you're looking at. This is the way we should look at it from the, you know, 600-foot view of where we want to be. And how the student body is moving within the district and where we should, you know, have kind of the egg and, you know, the yolk effect, you know, where are the students and where we should be growing and how we should work with the borough in planning new schools and how we should look at where our boundaries are now and how they should be moved. And the whole process was completely changed. And I say that because we now the district has done at least two, maybe three. This most recent one was with the Joe Reddington School that's about to open, and they've gone through without hardly any resistance from the public. I think, again, you know, I think that Palmer City Council sometimes has certainly sort of adapted a stance of not wanting to take on hard issues, and this doesn't have to be a hard issue. Maybe you just need to have a different way of looking at it. And just because you've had a bad experience in the past, that doesn't mean you're always going to be defeated. But it does should make you look at your process and what you're doing, and you know, not be afraid to approach it. It would be what I would say. But you piqued my interest, Mike. I'll definitely listen.
Well, it's worth listening to it. And the beauty of it, it's in the first part of the podcast as you're listening to the. City managers.
So did it sound
report.
Like it was going to come back for discussion, or they just kind of?
I think it's going to. It will come back. I thought this was a kind of an interesting review of things that were coming up, and from the manager's perspective, and I didn't notice it, but it obviously was a bump in the road for the council because they sort of said, "Whoa, wait a second," and talked about it at some time. But I would invite other listeners and you certainly to listen to this first part of it to get some sense of things. There were also some other good things that are out there. And I just want to remind people that Fred Meyer Construction, as reported by the city manager, is going to be bigger than it initially thought. Oh. And so it's going to be an impressive addition there. But also along with that, there's continues to be the question of how to use the old facility. Oh. And so this is an opportunity for listeners to absolutely key in, because there's opportunity there if there's creativity enough to make it happen. So this feels like it's kind of an interesting time to look.
Well, there's no lack of opinions. I know I've been following one Facebook site that's been asking that question, and it's had hundreds of, in opinions, so to speak, on what should be there. Some of them from, you know, pretty, sounds like it kind of fits within the scope of where Palmer is, and also some pretty big plans for what should be there. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's great to get this feedback. I think we have to keep in mind that the city of Palmer doesn't own that building. They'll have something to say about what goes there according to their ordinances that are in place. But Fred Meyer is the owner of that building, and whatever goes there is going to be complementary to what their business model is, I think.
Oh, sure. Yep.
And so it's good. It's good. I'm glad to see the city engagement. I mean, as far as people looking to see what's there, and it's not just Palmer folks that are looking at. There's people in Wasilla, and of course, a lot of people that come here to work every day don't live in Palmer, but You know, they have a strong opinion, and there's been no lack of it on this subject. So it's good that they're out there getting some community feedback.
Sure. Well, there are two other topics that I'll bring to your attention that were discussed at the City of Palmer's council meeting last Tuesday. One of them involved what initially was sort of set aside and brought back to be discussed, and that was a proposal for a process, once again, to make determination of how the city will place monies in support of economic development. And a committee that's been working on this was represented by a couple of people, including John Lee. And it was kind of an interesting discussion because it once again revolved around process and what would be a good process and how to make a determination of amounts of money to be awarded to different groups that are involved in doing something in the city. I just bring that up and say it's ongoing. It'll appear in a future meeting. But what it suggested to me was that although there are substantive issues where particular decisions are being asked to be made, process once again seems to be the focus of much attention. The third topic, for example, was what it seemed at first to be a simple thing, and then you realized that it was not only convoluted in part here at the city level, but also because of what was happening at the borough level. And what I'm speaking about is the 17-member committee that the borough is forming to deal with the question of marijuana. Okay, so at first glance, that seems like a simple thing, wouldn't you say? There was some discussion at the borough level about how the individuals that were going to ultimately be chosen. You could talk about how that was going to happen, but basically, this is a borough committee, so presumably the borough guidelines for setting up a committee, including the mayor's selection and approval by presumably the assembly, would be in play.
Well, the mayor actually does the picking. The assembly does the confirmation.
Right.
People apply, and he puts names forth that he thinks should be on there. So.
Okay. So now let us go a further step, you and I, down to the city level. What the Palmer mayor did was report. There are two parts to this. First of all, report that the mayors of the other municipalities within the borough were going to be the representatives on this committee. They were putting themselves forward to be on this committee at the borough level. The Palmer mayor also said she thought that she would follow in that path and also be the representative to the borough committee on marijuana. Well, that raised a process question. Does this mean that the mayor can just decide that, or is there a process that has to be gone through, which means the mayor, the Palmer mayor, recommends and the city council approves this representative to go off to the borough?
And
what came forth after considerable discussion, by the way, this was, again, process consumed a large portion of this meeting, as it does over at the assembly very often. Not so much at the school board. I don't think they get in as much into process. But what I remember, and I have to go back and listen maybe a couple times, but what came forth from the attorney was that reading the way you make appointments or put people this way and into positions is to have the mayor recommend and the council approve. So it wasn't just something that could be done out of hand.
Right.
So
much like what the way the assembly does it.
Yes, sure. And I've known that to be the case. Been there and watched that happen. Been part of that. But I think what we're looking at now is just one aspect of what is going to be the interesting question, because the topic of marijuana, and this was spoken to by, first of all, the centerpiece of the meeting, other than process, that had some substance, involved a presentation by Commander Lance Ketterling, who, upon return from Colorado, was able to, in a very well done presentation, walk through Colorado's experience, answering a number of questions, and summarizing very nicely what is likely to be the kind of issues that will be dealt with here. He did that, and the subsequent discussion at the council level went on about the interesting aspect, which has emerged before, of the relationship between the borough and the cities, not to mention the state. And I think the discussion went on for a while in a way that was rumination, but still seems to be getting ahead of what's happening at the state level. It seems appropriate for the city or for the borough to be thinking about marijuana, thinking about what people would like to see happen here, both in the borough and in a specific city. But until the state acts a bit more, much of the discussion may be moot. It just doesn't apply. And once it's all said and done, I think the struggle may well be about what the borough does and what the city can do, and if there will be any clash about that. So it's a whole new world in one sense, people are thinking, because even though we have something out there, the regulation of alcohol, for example, that has a state level, and but the cities pretty much, as I understand, control what happens in alcohol in their area. But you maybe have a more background in that. Could say a few words.
Well, indeed, there's a big pile of regulations regarding alcohol within the state, but there is some local control. I mean, the cities definitely have to approve any transfers. It's part of the packet that gets put together that goes to the state. They get to weigh in. They get to weigh in on any type of renewals. They're supposed to, although I'm told they've not ever received it. They're supposed to get half of the money that for the fees. I think it's $2,500 a year now for a liquor renewal license, and they're supposed to get half of that, although I've been told they haven't gotten that for many, many years, according to something I heard from someone from Anchorage yesterday. Now, that could be that they've pushed it all into community revenue sharing and said, yeah, you're getting it here. So it depends on who has a calculator on that one. But there is some. The borough also has some control. We recently had a liquor license transfer here in the city from outside in the borough, and both got to weigh in on that. But it will be very interesting. I think what you're seeing now is a bit of a posturing to see, kind of a pushing of the elbows to remind the borough that there are cities and that they indeed have their own regulations. But yeah, I think it's almost more messy at this end than it's turning out to be at the legislative end. I haven't listened to all of them, but just hearing the feedback I've been getting about the hearings that have been going on in state affairs regarding marijuana, it sounds like they're making progress on the state level, and people are pretty pleased with the way it's going now. So yeah, this is not going to fall out. There is going to be positioning, some minor stuff on who's going to be on these boards. I don't know. It'll be interesting to compare that to see if the same conversation went on Monday at the council meeting on the Wasilla and how they're going to fill that position. There's also going to be positions on that marijuana board for people outside of the city. So I think, there's a lot to be done on this, but you're just seeing a kind of a posturing for power now. And it's going to be interesting if the code actually, sort of gives them direction on this from a state level on what they can and can't do. And much of that will be decided, I think, on if they decide to have a roll this into the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, or if they have a separate board with different guidelines, and which will tell the cities which powers they're going to have and what they're not going to have. and including the borough. But, you know, if you really stop to think that, you know, only about half the state is incorporated, you know, that's only kind of half of the problem there.
Well, and the other point that was brought up, touched briefly, had to do with the implications, given that the city of Palmer has a smoke-free ordinance, and mm-hmm. how this affects what is coming down the road in terms of marijuana, thinking that perhaps some aspects of the discussion will be taken care of. But the reminder is, of course, that the borough doesn't have a smoke-free ordinance.
The borough doesn't have health powers to have a smoke-free ordinance.
And right, so we have to do that.
SB1 is in play right now. Senator Matricki, sort of popping over to the legislature, Senator Matricki, last night, yesterday, had his first hearing. He's a sponsor of SB1, which is a statewide smoke-free ordinance, which is pretty much patterned right off of what Palmer does have. Palmer has sort of the model legislation for this. Anchorage, who's passed some 8 to 10 years ago, doesn't include electronic cigarettes, and City of Palmer does. So the bill that it's before, the Senate Health and Social Services, which got its first hearing yesterday, is pretty much modeled off of the Palmer bill, so there won't be a lot of changes if SB1 does pass. There was some 60 testifiers online yesterday with only about 20 minutes for public testimony, but there were a lot of interesting questions that came up yesterday, particularly from Senator Stoltz from this area and Senator Kelly from the Fairbanks area. Haven't quite signed on as fans, but there are a lot of questions that are being answered right now that, you know, to me will actually help in deciding how those things are the marijuana issue is handled, because the bill contains some wording there for plant-like material. So okay. It will take care of some of these questions that are coming up
okay.
if the bill is pushed forward.
And once again, all of that shows how we are intertwined at all levels, the state, the borough,
indeed.
The cities, and so on. Very interesting. Well, I have a quick question for you, because I checked things out yesterday, and tomorrow, by the way, we're going to have a visit in our Inside program at 8 a.m. from the new IAT director at the borough, and one of the topics of discussion will be the new website. Have you gone to the borough's new website?
Wow, I've seen that, Mike.
Have you gone there and looked at it?
I have. I opened it up, I think, the first day they launched it, and I was like, wow, what a difference, huh?
Well, and that's, there's no doubt I have the wow factor hard, but what I noticed, since we do this kind of thing, we looked at it under at least three different browsers, and I found that under one, it was not, I couldn't look at it. I mean, I became dizzy, if you will. So I know at the end of the Palmer meeting, the Palmer meeting had a lot of components. Eugene, who's there, had pointed out that he had gone to the website and he had done a number of checks of links, et cetera, and he found it more difficult to find information. I did that. What I found more difficult was that under one browser, things were moving so much, it became almost a video game. As I was attempting to click on a link, it would bounce around a bit. And so when we talk, and what I would invite you to do is to spend a little more time seeing if and any listeners out there, seeing how effective it is for getting the information that you'd like to get from that website. That's the big thing.
Well, I think I'm just going to interject here and say, you know, this is a huge upgrade. This is a phenomenal upgrade. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look anything like the last website. So
right.
I think, and it's also the very, very beginning of the launch, and there is lots of bugs to be worked out when you completely redo your web page. So I'm going to reserve judgment for at least a couple of weeks while they work out those bugs and those dead links, because that's very, very common when you make a huge upgrade to this matter. There is a lot of information, but people have complained there's no information on the website. So somewhere in between there is, you know, the right thing. But I'd like to cut some slack to the IT department while they're launching this and let them work some of those things out.
I understand what you're saying. And it'll be interesting that we have the opportunity, since it's out there, to give feedback And I would like to think that the feedback I give is encouraging, just saying, this is what I've discovered. I know you're looking at it. And, of course, tomorrow we'll hear from the IT director, and he'll give us an update on just where things are.
Well, I just pulled up the meeting packet for, or actually just the agenda from the calendar for tomorrow's or next week's meeting, and I got it pretty seamlessly.
Oh, good.
I'm in Safari. But I think... it was certainly past due time. It's been very frustrating to people that use the web to do this. And, you know, I'm encouraged they're taking this kind of a big approach and that, you know, these are not cheap things that the borough does. It's a lot of money to do these type of launches. And, I hope they end up with a final product that serves a lot more people. So I'm curious to see what the IT director has, and he'll probably give us a lot more background as to, you know, what they are trying to, problems they have found out. And they do rely on feedback from people that are frustrated, you know, that can't use different things to make the changes. So it's a work in progress, I'd say. But it certainly is a lot more information on there than we've been able to get before. So,
and that's a good thing.
I'm guardedly optimistic it's going to be a fine result.
Okay. Well, thank you, Citizen Lobbyist, for calling in. We just blew through about 26 minutes worth of discussion, and we'll look forward to hearing from you tomorrow on Valley Edition and back next week.
All right.
Take care now.
Bye.